Hello, I'm Carlotta Rabello, and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. Today, Monocle's Daniel Bache takes us north to Glasgow, the city where he started his journalism career. For its sooty past and rough around the edges reputation, Glasgow will perhaps forever be in the shadow of its touristy medieval neighbour to the east, Edinburgh. But with a rich heritage of design, manufacturing, and a wealth of classic architecture, not to mention the warmth of its people, Glasgow is an easy city to fall in love with, for those curious enough to uncover its charms. As Daniel tells us on this week's Tall Stories, the Glasgow City Chambers houses one of the city's greatest architectural features, hiding in plain sight. Here he is.
For many people from Canada, it's easy to be impressed by European cities, where you are constantly surrounded by architecture older than our country, and enveloped by history that tells a somewhat familiar story, particularly in Britain's great cities that boomed in the 19th century, where the courthouses, stately homes, and government buildings in fact resemble our own. And outside of London, for me, the links to home are strongest in Scotland's largest city. Canada's first Prime Minister, Sir John A. Macdonald, was from Glasgow. So too was my great-grandfather. So, in tracing family roots and reconnecting with long-lost relatives, I've always felt instantly at home there. But when I moved to a city known for incredible music and culture, and especially for the openness of its people, I could never understand why Glaswegians didn't appreciate their physical surroundings more. From the cobbled lanes of the West End and the medieval University of Glasgow, to the world-class treasures of the Calvin Grove Art Gallery and the wild expanse of green parks and rows of signature red and blonde sandstone tenements, and the 19th-century Art Nouveau masterpieces of Charles Rennie Mackintosh, Glasgow is a dream to stroll around. And I've spent countless hours doing exactly that, learning quickly that one must dig a little deeper to find the true gems in a city that to many feels a bit shabby. Glasgow boomed in the 19th century, fueled and made rich by the Industrial Age, known especially for its vast shipyards along the River Clyde. And one of the best examples of the city's prominence at the time is the Glasgow City Chambers, the hulking Beaux-Arts structure on George Square, opened by Queen Victoria in 1888. The building was designed by William Young, the winner of a competition that attracted 125 entries. And while the exterior of Aberdeenshire granite is today impressive in any weather, and particularly when floodlit under the midnight blue of a summer night, like much of Glasgow, the true charm is not instantly recognizable. See, up the steps and beneath the archways is the real wonder, styled as a Venetian palace. The first thing you'll notice when stepping inside is the tile mosaic of the city's coat of arms, with a bird, a tree, a bell, and a fish, and the motto, "Let Glasgow Flourish." The mosaic work is also seen on the soaring domes and arches above, more than 1.5 million tiles set by hand. Walking past pillars of granite and marble, you come to a vast staircase of imported Carrara marble, the largest staircase in Western Europe, topped by a stained glass dome, continuing a jaw-dropping journey through all the styles of Italian architecture. Moving on, you'll find the grand barrel-roofed banqueting hall, lined with murals celebrating the city's history, created by the artists of the famed Glasgow School. This is the hall where Nelson Mandela was honored with a Freedom of the City Award back in 1993. Since its opening over 130 years ago, the building has been home to successive city administrations, and on the second floor lies the Councillor's Corridor, decorated in yellow, blue, and white glazed pottery under yet another domed ceiling. City business continues today down the corridor in the committee rooms, which leads to an incredible library lined with 11-foot-high walnut bookcases. Beyond is the council chamber itself, with its impressive mahogany paneling. Next to the chamber are three large column function rooms with their own magnificent woodwork and decoration. The office of the Lord Provost is worth a look as well, also decorated in a Venetian style. The corner office with a sweeping view is arguably fit enough for royalty, or a president or prime minister. Back outside on George Square, passerby may have no idea of the incredible interior of the administrative building at the heart of the city. I used to sit on a bench in the square for a coffee or sandwich while taking a break as a much younger reporter. And for long, I had no idea that one of the city's best examples of its past wealth and importance was just beyond a door. Today, the city has countless hidden marvels and masterpieces from nightclubs and galleries and restaurants, all modern and classic, for those curious enough to take a wander.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. Our thanks to Daniel Bache for today's episode. Remember to tune in on Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Carlotta Rabello. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, city lovers.